to the Victory Harvest Podcast.
We have with us a new speaker today. A whole family has come. And they have a connection because Liesl, where are you, Liesl? Liesl sitting back in the back. Liesl came to me, Liesl Kirk, you know, Liesl and Jennifer. And Liesl, middle name is Cecil, right? And what he didn't know until this morning, we have with us Tim Todd. And Tim's dad has been a minister for over 60 years in the ministry. And his name is Dr. Cecil Todd, correct? And they were up in the Oklahoma area. And Liesl never knew this until this morning, that his middle name, Cecil, he was named after our speaker's this morning's father. Is that right? Did I get that right or no? Todd. Your middle name's Todd. And that's how you were named. Liesl Cecil. I thought that might be a little funny name, Liesl Cecil. I wasn't going to say anything, but I thought that might... thought they might have been into rhyming a little bit like that. So it's Liesl Todd. All right, that's the way it was. So we didn't know there was a connection there. We had no idea there was a connection between them here. And but after spending, we had a little bit of time yesterday. And then we had some time this morning spend together. And I got a feeling we're going to form a relationship here. Tim has been in ministry for 20-some years. And he's president of the Revival Fires. You'll see the board back there. The thing that grabbed me was just the professionalism, but beyond that, just the way he carries himself. And we listened to a CD and loved the message. And I had no idea, though, when we talked yesterday, I talked with his wife and got to meet his children this morning, and just the things that the Lord has done. And I'm going to kind of let him share a little bit of what he's done. I think he's going to kind of give his, hopefully he'll give a little bit of his testimony this morning. But I've got a feeling this is going to be one of these, you're going to say, I'm glad I came to church this morning. Look at somebody say, I'm already glad. Would you say, I'm glad I came to church this morning? And so we've been looking forward to this, and after yesterday meeting with them, I was even more excited about today and then this morning. I want you to give a great first-time welcome to Brother Tim Todd. And would you do that? Give him a great welcome.
Bow with me for a word of prayer, if you will, please. Holy Spirit of the living God, we give you permission to do everything that you desire to do. We submit ourselves to your word and to your will today. And we welcome you to have your way. And Father God, I pray that in this service this morning that you will cause miracles, signs, and wonders to take place. And I pray, Lord God, that you will prepare us for everything that you desire to do through us. In the name of Jesus Christ, let the Holy Ghost power of God flow mightily. We're trusting you to do your work. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Somebody give the Lord a big hand clap of praise. Amen. Praise God. I think we're going to maybe get a battery in. We planned this. Amen. In fact, brother, if you want to, why don't you just take this one, and I'll use this one. That'll work. Amen.
So I'll use this one, I'll use that one.
Okay, that sounds good. You use that one, I'll use this one. Praise God. Praise God. How many of you love the Lord this morning? Amen. I bring you greetings from West Monroe, Louisiana. How many of you know where West Monroe is? How many of you know where Louisiana is? Raise your hand, okay? I've got my wife and four children with me today, and it's such a blessing to be able to have them here with me today, because I travel all over the world, and my all four of our children are in school, so it's just during the summertime usually that they get to travel with me. But it's a blessing to have my beautiful wife Angie. You'll see, stand up, Angie. You'll see I'm not nearly as stupid as I look. Amen. And then we've got our four children. Our son Luke. Stand up, Luke. Luke is 15. Miracle and Mariah. Stand up. Our twin girls were born right here in Baton Rouge. Our son Luke was born here in Baton Rouge. And then McKaylin, that was born 3 days before the twins turned one, was born in West Monroe. Our three girls, their middle names are Faith, Joy, and Hope. And now we're praying for mercy. So you can pray with us that God will give us mercy. But the truth is, all four of our children love God with all of their heart. And we're so thankful for that. And we're just excited about being here. This is kind of like home. I lived here in Baton Rouge before we moved to West Monroe. I lived in Baton Rouge for about 13 years before we moved over to West Monroe. Now we've lived in West Monroe now for about 13 years. And the Lord is just doing a tremendous work. And I'm excited about what I see God doing here at Victory Harvest Church. Amen. How many of you, this is your home church? Raise your hand if it is. Amen. I want you to know that I believe, Pastor, that you're getting ready to see a massive, mighty move of the Holy Ghost through this church body like you've never seen before in the history of this church. I believe the greatest days for this church are in front of you, and I believe that you're going to see a harvest take place through this church body like we've never seen up to this point. I'm thankful for what God has already done. But what you're getting ready to see happen in the last of the last days, I believe, is going to supersede anything that's happened up to this point. Amen? Part of the ministry of Revival Fires, we give Bibles to teenagers. Some of you may be familiar with this Bible. If you get to American Fan the Radio, we do a project on American Fan the Radio every year where we give away thousands of these Bibles. This Bible is a Bible that we published. The Lord laid on my heart to design this Bible. It consists of the whole New Testament along with comics in the front. Comic stories that deal with the truth about issues of moral concern that young people are confronted with every day. We deal with the truth about things like sexual purity from a biblical perspective, abortion, homosexual perversion, evolution. We started teaching our young people that they evolved from apes. Now many of them have started behaving like apes. Isn't that true? So they need to know that we were made in the image of God. Amen? So we got a comic dealing with the truth about things like pornography, things like school violence, secular rock music, sorcery, witchcraft, drugs, drunkenness, peer pressure, and a lot of other things. 100 pages of comic stories. And then at the end of the comics, we've got the plan of salvation so that young people find out how to get saved. Then they fill out this decision coupon. All across America, we get thousands of these on a regular basis. And I'm happy to report that just in the past 10 months or so, I'm holding in my hand right here, Pastor Terry, 1,800 decision coupons from young people that have been saved for the very first time as a direct result of getting a copy of the Truth for Youth Bible. Then we've got the students' legal rights on public school campuses on the back cover of this Bible so that the young people can know that they do have the right to give Bibles away on campus during non-instructional time. Now, here's what I want to do this morning. This Bible is going to be a gift to every teenager, every middle school and high school student, a young person in the sanctuary this morning that will commit to giving the Bible to somebody that you come in contact with that's not saved. So I want to have all of the young people that are here tonight, today, this morning, to stand up if they will. And I want to have your wonderful youth pastor to join me here in the front if they will. And make his way up to the front. Now this is the first time that we have met. So brother, it is a joy and an honor to meet you. Your name is... Brother Terry, nice to meet you. Kirby, nice to meet you. And you are? Jennifer, you got a different name, last name, than I know who you are. Your pastor, your dad told me. I know, I'm just trying to embarrass you. Now, y'all going to sing a special before we give Bibles away? Yeah. So, all right. I want to have all the young people, if they will, to join me here in the front. Step out from behind the pew into the front, into the aisle. Make your way to the front. Let's give these young people a big hand while they're coming. Amen. Brother Kirby, if you will, Get a big stack of these Bibles and give every one of these young people a copy of the Word of God. Y'all get one of these Bibles, and then once you get your Bible, I want you to stay up here because I want us to pray for these young people. You know, Pastor, this is not the church of tomorrow. This is the church of today. Amen? So we need to reach young people and get them involved. And I thank the Lord that for what God is doing. But this young person, won't you get your Bible, if you will. Make your way over this direction some. And then we're going to line up all the way across the front here. This will be a powerful opportunity for you young people to win somebody to the Lord through the distribution of the Truth for Youth Bible. We thank God. How many of you don't have a Bible yet? Raise your hand, all right? They've got Bibles. Now look here. Tomorrow, I want you to give this Bible to the biggest heathen that you come in contact with. And don't all of you run to the same place, because the same person. I know there's more than one heathen. So you give that Bible away, and we're going to pray with you right now that as the seed of the Word is planted into the hands and the hearts of the young person who receives it, that we're going to see a mighty, mighty harvest take place. Amen? So put your hand out towards these young people, and let's lay hands on them and pray for them right now and believe God. Father, in Jesus' name, you never said that you'd plant, and you never said that you'd water. But Lord, you said that if we would plant and water, you'd give the increase. So Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name to cause a harvest to take place as a result of your word going forth from these young people into the hands of young people that don't know you. And that as a direct result of them getting a copy of the Truth for Youth Bible, that you'll cause their souls to be saved as they surrender to you. I'm thanking you in advance, Lord, for the work that you're going to do as these young people give these Bibles away. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Now look here. As these young people stand up for God, I want us to let them know that we're standing with them. Let's give them a big hand and let them know that as they stand up for God, that we're standing with them. Amen? God bless you, young person. You may be seated. Now, before you go back and sit down, very important, don't read the comics while I'm preaching. Amen. You'll be tempted to do that. And I know that you're going to enjoy that. Read the comics before you give it away, and then give it away tomorrow. God bless you, and you may be seated. Amen. Thank the Lord for these young people. Praise God. Another very important thing that Revival Fires is doing, I'm going to tell you about this right now, and that is, Donna, I'm going to catch you off guard. Flip down to where we're talking about the Bibles for our troops. How many of you are thankful for all of the troops that are defending America in the war on terror right now? Amen? This Bible, it's a full Bible, Old and New Testament, in the Good News Translation. Revival Fires has been providing and putting into the hands of our soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan ever since the war started. And I'm thankful to tell you, we've given away more than 160,000 copies of the Word of God to our soldiers. This Bible, you know, a lot of times you don't know what kind of response you're getting from the soldiers, although you know that the Word of God, when it goes forth, that God will do His work. But we received this letter that I want to read a portion of it to you this morning, from Command Chaplain Brian K. Waite. And he has been instrumental in helping us get the Word of God into the hands of our soldiers. After we got this letter, we really plugged him into what the Lord was doing. And I want to read a portion of this to you. It says, Revival Fires. I'm writing this letter to express in some small way my appreciation for Revival Fires ministry and their efforts to distribute Bibles to every soldier in harm's way. In particular, I'm personally appreciative of these efforts because I have seen firsthand the fruit of their labor. I have served as a command chaplain selected by the commanding general to serve as his deputy division chaplain. While in this capacity, I was tasked by the commanding general on relatively short notice to replace a chaplain in Kuwait whose unit was preparing for combat operation in Iraq. as a result of the short-fused, unforeseen changes, I was left with few religious supplies, such as Bibles, to accomplish the mission. This is where I believe Revival Fires truly became a genuine hero in the war on terror. Not knowing where I was going to get a sufficient number of God's Word for my men, I began to inquire from others about the possibility of securing Bibles. The immediate response I received was that Revival Fires had provided literally thousands of copies of the Word of God for our U.S. military. Needless to say, I could not pass them out fast enough. It is amazing to see when one is faced with their own mortality, how even the non-religious turn to the Word of God in prayer to find hope in their time of need. I saw hardened men literally devouring these small Bibles as if it were the last sustenance known to mankind. As a result of these Bibles being distributed and the power of the Word of God, I saw more than 60 combat-hardened men come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. In fact, I had the privilege of baptizing them in the Tigris River on Easter Sunday morning. Isn't that powerful? There's not a week that goes by but what one of these men does not contact me in one way or another to say thank you, not to me, but to God, for the power of God that has transformed their lives, a power that was revealed to them by the Word of God. For this, I will be eternally grateful to Revival Fires, as well as those who have made such generous contributions possible. Thank you, sincerely, Command Chaplain Brian K. White. This letter makes it worth every Bible that we've given away. Command Chaplain Brian K. White is now over in Afghanistan. Many of you may know that we're in the process right now of deploying 21,000 soldiers to Afghanistan. There is a rift right now in the White House going back and forth as to whether or not we're going to approve 40,000 troops or less to go over to Afghanistan. But the 21,000 troops are in the process of going over there right now. Some of them are already there. Revival Fires has made it a top priority to see to it that every one of those 21,000 soldiers gets a copy of the Word of God. Here's what I believe. I believe that if these men and women are willing to go on foreign soil to stand up for the freedoms for our nation so that we can have services like this, free services, that we ought to do everything that we can to see to it that they get a copy of the Word of God. The suicide rate, it is at an all-time high right now in Iraq and Afghanistan among our soldiers. And the only hope that they have is Jesus Christ. The military used to provide Bibles for our soldiers, but they no longer do that. And if our soldiers get a copy of the Word of God, the way that they'll get it is through a ministry like Revival Fires providing these Bibles. At the close of the service today, after the message and after the altar service, you're going to be blessed with an opportunity to help us provide this Bible for our soldiers that are being deployed to Afghanistan right now. 21,000 soldiers. The Bibles cost Revival Fires to print $4 per copy. We made up our mind that whenever we started this project, the first day we have to borrow money to do this, we'll shut it down. It's going to cost $84,000 to provide these Bibles. And this morning, you're going to have an opportunity in a little while to help us get the Word of God into the hands of these 21,000 soldiers. So you be praying about what the Holy Spirit would have you to do. And then I want you to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit as God speaks to you. And I'm believing God this morning for a miracle offering to do everything that we can to get the Word of God into the hands of our soldiers. Amen. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Matthew chapter 13. I've got a prophetic word from the Lord for you this morning that I'm going to be sharing. And Pastor, I tell you, and it's uncomfortable when the Lord does this, and you know all about this. But I am going to be sharing something totally different than what I told you I was going to be sharing about the testimony of our twins. Miracle was born, and Mariah was born here in Woman's Hospital. Miracle weighed 1 pound when she was born, dropped down to 12 ounces. I don't know if you've ever seen a 12-ounce baby, but she was literally this tiny. Perhaps at another time, this is Mariah. Go to the next slide, if you will. This is Miracle. That's my wedding ring on her leg. See that right there? That is my wedding ring on her leg. And she weighed just 1 pound, dropped down to 12 ounces. And that's all we'll show of that. But thank the Lord, they are totally healed. And there are no medical problems whatsoever. Now, it may very well be that next time I come, if the Lord allows me to, I will share the testimony of our twin girls. Because it will build your faith to receive a miracle from God. But I want to obey the Holy Spirit and share with you what God has given me, a prophetic word for the church in these last days. And it's in preparation for the harvest that God is getting ready to send to Victory Harvest Church. I believe that there's not going to be room enough to hold everybody in this building whenever the Lord does what He is getting ready to do in these last days. I'll show you that from the Word of God. Pastor, I've got a Bible right next to you right there. This is the God's Word translation. Some of you perhaps are familiar with this. This is the indexed copy of this. Have you ever heard of the God's Word translation? James Dobson from Focus on the Family said that this is the most accurate, easy-to-read translation available anywhere. It is on a fourth-grade reading level, and I was very happy about that. Real easy to understand. And you'll notice that it is in paragraph form instead of columns, so it makes it real easy to read. And now you can get this Bible. I've got this one. I've got it in burgundy, and I've got it in teal color. You can get this in the bookstore for $85 plus tax, and it's worth every penny of that. But I've got it on my table with the permission of the publisher right back here for only $25. It is the best deal in a Bible that you'll find anywhere for Christmas. It's great. It's great for your family members, for your enemies. It's really a good gift to give to your enemies. And Pastor, which color do you like the best, the burgundy or the teal? Burgundy? Here, this one's yours then. Let me sign it before we get out of here. Now, I'm giving this to you not because it's on a fourth grade reading level. And not because the print is a pretty good size print either. But I want to bless you with this. And I tell you, I've been around your pastor now for just yesterday and today. And you've got a pastor that is not just a preacher. He's a man of God. How many of you know there's a difference? Because not everybody, isn't it true that not everybody that says they love you really does love you? Isn't that true? And not everybody who says they're a Christian really is a Christian. Is that true? And not everybody that is a preacher is a man of God. There's a difference between being a preacher and a man of God. And I sense in my spirit and I discern that your pastor is a man of God with a heart for the things of God. And Pastor, I want to bless you with this, give this to you, and I appreciate you so very, very much. And God bless you. Amen. So when you leave tonight, today, this morning, be sure and avail yourself of those. I've got a limited supply of them. And when they're gone, I've got another limited supply, just so that you'll know. Amen. Stand with me this morning in reverence to God for the reading of our text. I'm going to take my coat off to preach. Leave it right up here in the front in case there's any of you that don't faithfully pay your tithe. If you'd steal from God, you'd steal my coat. So I'll leave it right up there in the front. Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 30. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? And he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. So that means that God was saying, don't worry about having tares in the church body. God is big enough to handle the tares himself. He doesn't need our help to handle the tares. Amen? Verse 30. Let both grow together until the time of harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barns. Now look, the tares being burned is symbolic of judgment. The wheat being gathered into the barn is symbolic of the last day harvest. Not just harvest, but the last day harvest, which has not yet begun. It is getting ready to. So judgment in that verse, look here. Judgment and harvest are going to come at the same time according to this passage of Scripture. The title of my message this morning, Build Your House. Remain standing. Bow with me for a word of prayer. Father, speak to us through your word this morning and do everything that you want done. We yield ourselves to you doing what you want done in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. There are two things that God is dealing with in this passage of Scripture. One is harvest and one is judgment. And according to this passage of Scripture, both are going to come at the same time. Now, there's a couple of questions that we have in these last days. And one of the questions is, God, when are you going to send the last day harvest? And our hearts are overwhelmed with the desire to see our building filled to capacity and overflowing with people running the aisles of Victory Harvest and giving their hearts to Jesus Christ and getting saved. Amen? And so we ask the question, legitimately, God, when are you going to send the last day harvest? And another question that we have, and I know this bothered me for years and years, and that is we have the question, God, why would you use unclean preachers that refuse to live right to build the kingdom of God? How many of you know throughout history God has done that? But you remember in the Bible, there were two men that were described. One was called the wise man, and one was called the foolish man. And both of these men were told to go out and build a house because a storm was going to come. So first, I want us to look at this foolish man. This foolish man, he doesn't like inconvenience, doesn't like struggle. So he goes out and he builds. How many builders do we have? Raise your hand if we got any builders here. He goes out and he builds this beautiful home in record time on a faulty foundation. And for those of you that know anything about building, you know that the most important part in building a house is to be sure that the foundation is built right. In fact, I was traveling through South Louisiana, and I came upon one of the most beautiful homes I'd ever seen in all of my life. And as I approached the house, I noticed that there was a sign in the front yard that said, House Condemned, Faulty Foundation. You see, it didn't matter how beautiful that home was. It was empty and condemned and going to have to be torn down because the foundation wasn't built right. Here's how it works. If the foundation isn't right, the whole house isn't going to be right. So here's this foolish man. He goes out and he builds this beautiful home in record time on a faulty foundation. Gets his electricity on. The lights are working. The water's running. He's got all of the modern conveniences that you would need for your comfort. And you notice that when he finished his house, the storm did not come immediately. The sun's still shining. So here's this foolish man. He's probably in his front screened-in porch, taking it easy in his hammock, sipping his Louisiana tea, enjoying this beautiful home that he's built in record time. And he looks across the street, and he sees what the Bible describes as the wise man. This wise man is building his house, but he doesn't even have his walls up yet. You know why? He's still working on his foundation. And so he's probably out there in the different elements of weather. The hot, blistering sun, the rain, the storm. And no doubt there were days that this wise man would think to himself, is what I'm doing really necessary here? I mean, here's this man across the street. He's built this beautiful home in record time. And it just looks as though everything he puts his hands to seems to prosper. But listen, any house can look good. Any house can stand, young person, as long as no storm has come and the sun's still shining. You know how it is that America has been have been trillions of dollars in debt, not just recently, but has been trillions of dollars in debt over the past several years. And yet, up until recently, we've looked like a prosperous nation. You know why? Because up until 9-1-1, no storm had come to America. You know how it is that America, from the very year that we kicked God out of our schools, from the very year that we took the Bible out of school in 1963, America has led the world in violent crimes, illiteracy, teenage pregnancies, illegal drugs, and the divorce rate. And yet, Up until recently, we've looked like a prosperous nation. You know why that is? Because no storm has come to America. You know how it is that I can show you a church right now, Pastor, running 10,000 people. And yet the worship leader of that church is living in a homosexual lifestyle. You know what that is? You know why that is? Because no storm has come to that church. Now, in the story about this wise man and the foolish man looked wise and the wise man looked foolish. The foolish man is the one, the wise man is the one that put forth the extra effort, the extra time, and the extra money, and yet it looked as though everything the wise man was doing was unnecessary. You know, we're living in a day today where you can be considered a good Christian in the American church, and yet breeze into church on Sunday morning and play a little church game and breeze back out and not be faithful to the house of God any other time. Give God a tip instead of a tithe. Sing songs to a God that we won't pray to. And with our lips say that we love a God that we will not let Him speak to us through His Word. We're living in a day where you can be considered a good Christian in the church and yet watch anything that you want to on the internet or on television or at the movie house, and we say, well, we're God's little darlings and we're King's kids, and there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's true, but let's read the rest of that verse. For those who walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh, that's who there's no condemnation for. You know why it is that you can be considered a good Christian in the American church and yet behave any way that you want to? Here's why, Pastor Terry. Because the truth is, we've got a lot of spineless jellyfish preachers in the pulpit who are foolish men who will not preach the uncompromised word of the Lord because they're afraid that if they do, people will leave their church and not come back. But the day came when the wise man finished his house. He's worn out. He's tired. He hung his last roof shingle, hung his last window, hung his last door. He finished his house. Then God said, let the storm come. You know why the storm didn't come earlier? It wasn't because God changed his mind about sin. The reason the storm did not come earlier is because if it would have come earlier, not only would the foolish man have been destroyed, but the wise man would have been destroyed too. So God said, I will tolerate the sin long enough to give this wise man time to build his house. I will tolerate the sin, not because I love sin, but because I love the righteous man, and I will not let him perish. He said, God said, the storm is coming, America, and when it does, let the foolish man fend for himself. But I'm going to hold back the storm long enough to give the wise man time to finish building his house on a rock-solid foundation. Harvest and judgment are going to come at the same time. And harvest, get this, has already been appointed by God, the time of harvest. Jeremiah 5:24 says, the Lord appoints the weeks of harvest. You remember in Noah's day, God was so sick of all of the sin that he had to repent for making man. There was no harvest. You know, we want harvest, but I believe the reason why God has held back harvest is out of mercy. Because when harvest comes, judgment comes, and judgment begins in the house of God. Nowhere in the Bible, now get this, nowhere in the Bible does the Bible tell you to pray for the harvest. That is not in the Bible anywhere. The Bible tells you and me to pray for laborers. You know why the Bible doesn't tell us to pray for the harvest? Because harvest is a principle of God. It's going to happen. Hell cannot stop harvest. In fact, the Bible says, as the water covers the sea, so shall the glory of the Lord cover the entire face of the earth. I believe the church as a whole has put their focus in the wrong area. We have focused on harvest when, more important than that, we need to focus on our relationship with Jesus Christ. More important than you winning somebody to Jesus Christ, and there is something more important, is for you to have an intimate marriage relationship with Jesus. And if you have an intimate marriage relationship with Jesus, then out of that relationship, you will automatically win people to Jesus Christ because you're a Christian. It's all about building your spiritual house on the rock solid foundation of Jesus Christ. Everybody in this building is building a house. The word house in the original Greek means habitation or temple. You know what the house is that you're building right now? It's your relationship with Jesus. Now here's how it works. Look right here. If you don't have an active prayer life and devotion time and the Word of God on a daily basis and have an intimate relationship with the Lord, in that area you're building your house on a faulty foundation. If you're not being faithful to pay your tithe and give your offering to the Lord's work of your finances, in that area you're building your house on a faulty foundation. If you're not faithful to the house of God, you're building your house on a faulty foundation. And I've heard people say, well, now, Brother Todd, everybody sins a little. What page is that on in the Bible? Everybody sins a little. Mine happens to be robbing banks. What's yours? Everybody sins a little. People say, well, the key word is moderation. Well, how many of you ladies sitting here want your husband to commit a moderate amount of adultery? That's what I thought. How many of you have the solution for him if he does it? That's what I thought. And I hear people say, well, now, Brother Todd, maybe I don't pray like I know I should. Maybe I don't read my Bible with my busy schedule and my kids in school and everything. Maybe I don't pay my tithe faithfully with the economy the way that it is in America. But the truth is, Brother Todd, the truth is I'm blessed. You know why you're blessed? Because the sun's still shining. Reversals have already begun to take place in the church body. People that God has blessed with the ability to make money that won't use that money to build the kingdom of God, God is taking those finances away from those individuals and He's giving it to people that will use it to build the kingdom of God. Singers and musicians that have the spotlight syndrome that want to draw attention to themselves instead of drawing attention to God and leading people into the presence of God, singers and musicians like that are finding themselves, God is pulling the rug right out from under them, and He's raising up musicians and worship leaders that will lead people into the presence of God. Preachers that won't live right and preach the uncompromised word of the Lord, many of them are finding themselves working in Circle K's, 7-Elevens, JCPenney's, and places like that. And God is raising up some men of God, like Pastor Terry Workman, that have enough steel in their backbone and seem in their call to stand up on their hind legs and live a holy and a righteous life before God and preach the uncompromised word of the Lord. But the day came when the wise man finished his house. He finished his house. Then God said, let the storm come. In Noah's day, God was so sick of all of the sin that He had to repent from making man. Now listen, when you totally exhaust the mercy of God, you've gone a long, long way. God said, I'm sorry that I ever made man in the first place. He said, now I'm going to destroy everything on the entire face of the earth. Then God looked down and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So God said, okay, because of Noah and his family, I will hold back the flood. Did God cancel judgment? No, He didn't. He said, but I'm going to hold the flood back. Why did He hold the flood back? To give Noah time to build the ark. God said, I will tolerate the sin for 120 years. For the purpose of giving Noah time to build the ark. When God told Noah to build the ark, He gave him specific directions and instructions, told him exactly how to do it, what to do. But then the whole time that Noah worked on the ark, God did not talk to Noah one time. It was as though God was saying, Noah, I told you exactly how to build the ark. I gave you specific directions and instructions. Now do what I told you to do, and then we'll talk again. You know, God has given you and I specific directions and instructions in His Word on how to live right. You don't need another prophetic word from a preacher to know whether or not you're living right. You've got the Word of God right here to know. But in Noah's day, people would come by while Noah was working on that ark and laugh and scoff and mock and make fun of him. Then they'd go their own way and live their own life. And Noah just faithfully kept working on that ark. There had to be days that Noah would think to himself, have I really heard from God on this thing? I mean, here's Noah Get the picture. He's building an ark in the middle of a desert and it's never rained. He looked like an idiot. But he kept working on that ark. The day came when he finished. Those people had never seen lightning, never heard thunder, never seen the sky black with clouds, never seen any Y2K had come and gone. 9-1-1 was horrible, but things are getting back to normal and we've not had another terrorist attack since. The economy is bad, but we've had problems like this before and we'll come out of it. Noah is just a crazy old man and he doesn't know what he's talking about. But God had already set the appointed time of judgment. The next revival that you see take place in the church, it's not going to be a giggling revival. It's not going to be a revival of healing. God has always healed and he always will. The biggest revival that you see take place in the church is going to be a revival where God comes into every church body and he removes all of the tares from the church. You know who the tares are, don't you? They're not the sinners and they're not the saints. They're the lukewarm churchgoers, the hypocrites, those that have a Jezebel or an Absalom spirit. The tares are the ones that are the troublemakers. God's going to remove the tares because it's going to be the righteous that bring in the last day harvest, not the tares. I've heard people say, the worst day for the Christian is in front of us. That's not true. The greatest day for the Christian is right in front of us. You see, the worst day for this wise man was when the foolish man was prospering. And the wise man was working so hard on that foundation. And the foolish man would come by and he'd look at the wise man working on that foundation. He'd say, what are you doing working so hard on that foundation? You don't have to work. You don't have to pray so much. It's not important for you to have an active prayer life and devotion time in the Word of God each day. It's not important for you to be faithful to the house of God. God understands if you're not able to pay your tithe and give your offerings to the Lord's work. You don't have to work so hard on your foundation. These were tough days for the wise man. But the day came when the wise man finished his house. Then God said, let the storm come. When the storm came, the first thing it hit was the foolish man's house. And the Bible says, great was the fall thereof. Here's this wise man looking out his picture window. Here comes this wall of water. It slams against the side of his house. He's not scared. He's not fearful. He's not afraid. Because he knows he built that house on a rock solid foundation. And what was a damnation for the foolish man, the very same storm was a vindication for the wise man. It was not this wise man's worst day. It was the wise man's greatest day. Because I let the whole world know that what he was doing by working so hard to be sure that foundation was right was the right thing for him to do. It was important and it was necessary. And there are those of you that are sitting here this morning that you come to the prayer meetings and you see a handful of people in here praying. And it discourages you. I want you to know that God looks down at you being faithful. And he says, you're putting another hunk of rebarb in your foundation. And when the storms hit, your house is going to stand. You young people that live right, when all the other young people around you are going to the keg beer parties, getting drunk, having sex outside of marriage, not living for God, but you live for God. I want you to know you're putting rock in your foundation. And when the storms come, your house is going to stand. And you men that get up early in the morning and you pray and seek the face of God before you go to work, when hardly any men are doing that these last days, I want you to know you're putting rock in your foundation. And when the storms come, your house will stand strong. When the flood came, the ark began to rise up on that water. I don't believe Noah was on that boat chewing his fingernails, saying, oh, I just don't know what I'm going to do. The economy has gone belly up and I don't know what's going to happen. We were in a flood. I don't believe Noah was doing that. I believe Noah was on that boat with his hands lifted toward heaven, saying, oh, God, I'm glad I didn't listen to the lukewarm churchgoer that told me it wasn't important for me to pray. I'm glad I didn't listen to the lukewarm churchgoer that told me it wasn't important for me to have the Word of God as a part of me. I'm glad I didn't listen to the lukewarm churchgoer that told me that it wasn't important for me to be faithful to build my house on the rock solid foundation of Jesus Christ. But instead, I listened to the voice of the Spirit of God. When God told Noah to build the ark, He said, "Now when you finish, I want you to gather all of the different animals from every different denomination. Not just the independent, full gospel, charismatic, but I want you to get the Assembly of God, the Church of God, the Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, the Catholics. I want you to gather every one of them up and put them on the boat." You've got to understand, Noah's well over 100 years old now. He's thinking, "I'm not even half done yet. I've gathered all, I built this ark, but now I've got to gather all these different animals up." But God had a surprise for Noah. No doubt Noah's in the bottom of that boat making last minute inspections. Here comes one of his sons. He says, "Dad, something really strange is going on outside. You need to come out here and see what this is." Noah gets to opening the boat and he sees every species of animal in a single file headed for the ark of God. Nobody's lassoed them. Nobody's enticed them with food. Nobody's tricked these animals. God changed the beast nature of these animals. And they're headed for the ark. And Noah, he looks out and he says, "Oh God, You knew I was too tired to gather all those animals up after building this ark. You blessed me this day." God says, "Noah, You did what I told You to do. You built the ark. Now I'm going to fill it up." Now listen, look here. God is not nearly as concerned about how many people are in this house as He is concerned about what kind of a house you're building. It's all about building your spiritual house on the rock solid foundation of Jesus Christ. Because then when the storms come, and I'm not talking about just your personal storm. Some of you are going through personal storms right now. But when the storms come to America and to the world, if you built your house on the rock solid foundation of Jesus Christ, it's going to be your greatest day, not your worst day. It's all about building your house. Bow your heads, close your eyes, open your hearts all over the building. It may be that you're here this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to have the musicians, if you will, to come and softly begin playing whatever the Holy Spirit leads you to play. It may be that you're here this morning and you've been building your house on a faulty foundation to the extent that your heart's not right with God. I want you to know that Jesus loves you this morning, and He's ready to wrap His arms of love around you, and He's ready to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He's ready to help you this morning to get to where you need to be spiritually. He's ready for you to surrender all. And it may be that you're here this morning and your life is not being lived for God. You'd say, "Brother Todd, I've been building my house on a faulty foundation to the extent that I know that my heart, my life is not being lived for God. My heart's not right with God. And I don't want it to be that way. I need to surrender my life to Him." And if you're here this morning, at one time you served God faithfully, but you're not serving Him faithfully now. Or perhaps you've never given your heart to Him. Either area, you'd say, "I know that my foundation is not rock solid because my heart's not right with God." Pray for me. If that's you this morning, you'd say, "That's me. And the Lord is dealing with my heart because I know my life is not right with Him." Pray for me. Nobody looking around. If that's you, slip your hand up right now. Slip it up all over the building. All over the building. Holy God, God bless you. Others, God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? Yes. Yes, anybody else? You'd say, "Yes, that's me. I don't want anybody looking around, please." I want every one of you that raised your hand right where you're seated. You that raised your hand, I want you to stand to your feet. Stand right now. That's you. You raised your hand and you really meant it. You said, "Yes, that's me." Stand if that's you. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? Stand. Yes. I want to ask you, those that are standing, if you will, step out from behind the pew into the aisle, make your way to this altar. Come stand right here with me. Come. Holy God. Right here. Anybody else, you'd say, "That's me, Brother Todd. I know my heart's not right with God. My life's not right with God. With God's help, I'm going to get it to where it needs to be. Come. Come. Holy God, He loves you this morning. Jesus loves you so much. He's got a plan for your life. And He's going to help you build your foundation rock solid on Him. Amen. Amen. Join hands with each other. And I want you to pray a prayer of repentance with me, asking the Lord to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us. Pray this with me. You that are in the sanctuary, pray this with them if you will, please. Dear Jesus, cleanse me. Purify me. Wash me with your precious blood. Since you died for me, I'm going to live for you from this day forward. But I can't do it on my own. I need your Holy Spirit to lead me in the things of God. I surrender all in Jesus' name. Amen. Look right here. With God's help, from this day forward, your life is going to be turned upside down for Jesus Christ in a good way. Amen. I want to ask, Pastor, if you will, to take these three right over here. Pastor is going to talk with you and give you some information to help you live for God. And I want the rest of you to look right up here. If you're here this morning, you'd say, Brother Todd, there's areas of my life, my walk with God, young person, those of you that are here across this building, you'd say, there's areas of my foundation, my prayer life perhaps, my study time in the Word of God, my relationship with the Lord, my tithing, my giving, maybe some other area that the Lord has dealt with you this morning, that you'd say, there's areas of my foundation that are faulty. I need God to help me to build my house in that area more rock solid on my foundation. Slip your hand up. You'd say, there's areas all across this building. Stand, if you will. Stand. Here's what I want us to do this morning. I just feel led of the Holy Ghost right here. There are some of you here this morning. You've done everything you know to do to serve God with all of your heart. And you've grown weary. You've grown weary in well-doing. If that's you this morning, God wants to give you strength this morning as well. Stand if that's you. Holy God. Now, whatever one of you standing to step out from behind that pew into the aisle, make your way to this altar. Come flood this altar. Come flood this altar. Come. Power of God be poured in fresh. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come to this altar. Once you get into this altar, I want you just to begin to cry out to God and ask Him in every area of your life that He's dealing with right now to strengthen you. Father, I pray for the foundation. I pray for the foundation of each young person, every adult, every child in this building to be rock solid. Father God, I pray that you'll burn out everything that's not pleasing to you and fill us up with more of you. Help us, Father God, for our foundation to be rock solid. Holy God, saturate us, consume us, do your work in us. Anointing that destroys the yoke, let it flow. Let your fire flow. All that you have, Lord, work on us. Mold us into your image. Make us what you want us to be. Let your power flow. In the name of Jesus, just cry out to Him. Lift your voice to Him. Lift your voice to Him. Worship and magnify Him now.
For you, and I'm lost without you.
There's more than one. There are several of you here this morning that are battling with depression. And God wants to give you victory this morning. Depression. And the Spirit of God spoke that to my heart. And if that's you this morning, battling with depression, I need your hand up high so I can see who you are. I need you to come stand right down here, right here in the middle area. You that are battling with depression, I need an altar worker to come stand in behind these that are coming right now. Battling with depression. And that's you. God's going to give you, look right here. God's going to give you victory this morning. There's several of you. Anybody else? Right along the front. We're living in turbulent times right now. And the devil is pulling up the stops to destroy you and your family. Look at me. You are a conqueror and more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ. And he said, look here. He said, put on the garment of praise. For the spirit of heaviness, that depression is a spirit. And we battle it by praising God. This morning, here's what I want you to do. I'm going to lay hands on you. But I want you to use the tool that God is going to give you, that God has given you to have the victory this morning, specifically for that heaviness, for that depression. I want you to begin to praise God out loud. Just lift your voice to Him. Lift your hands, begin to praise Him. And I believe God's going to give you victory this morning. Father, let your power flow. Say this to the Lord. Say, dear Jesus, every area of my life, my foundation is going to be built on you. Give me wisdom to be led by the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now just worship Him. Magnify Him. Glorify Him. Holy Ghost, prepare us. Prepare us, Lord, for the last day harvest. Lord God, I pray for Victory Harvest Church to be a lighthouse to bring in the harvest. In the name of Jesus. Come on, give him a great clap offering today. Would you do that? Come on. Come on, give him one more good clap offering today. Come on. Hallelujah, Lord, you're worthy. Father, you're worthy. Come on, isn't he great? Father, you're worthy today. We let our hearts grow in you. God, we thank you. $4 a Bible. Everybody say $4 a Bible. 21,000 troops being deployed. How many troops? Just think about this. Every $4 you give right now, that's what the money's going for. Every $4 you give is going to go for a Bible for somebody that's defending that you and I can do what we do today. So let's do that. Would you take a minute? And we're going to pray. Then I'm going to ask you to go back to your seats and get ready. Father, right now we ask you, thank you for the word we heard today. But beyond that, we want to do something. So we want to give. And Lord, we thank you for Tim and Angie and the kids. And Lord, we just want to be a part of that. We just feel integrity and honesty of heart. And we want to give, Lord. Thank you that we'll not just hear, but we'll be doers. And we love you. And would you do that real quickly? Would you go back to your seats real quickly? And would you get your checkbook ready and get cash ready, whatever you want to give? Every penny and more we're going to give to them. How many just feel the Lord? You just feel the Lord this morning. You know, He's always here, but you just sense that God's doing not just one of those treetop deals, but a foundation deal. Aren't you glad of John the Baptist type ministry that lays the axe to the root, not just picks fruit, but lays the axe to the root of problems? Here's what we're going to do. If you want to write a check directly out to Victory, do that. Every penny and more. We never take anything out. We give every penny, and then we add to what you give. So we're going to do that. We feel a privilege to be a part of this. And go ahead. Would you do that? And ushers, you guys come on up. If you're not ready yet, you just keep writing your check, and we'll do it. We're going to give it to them before they leave today. Go ahead, guys. We'd start in the hand of the baskets. Go ahead and start them. You guys can go ahead and do that. And as you're doing that, on the back table, don't forget, Angie's back there. They've got great material. And if you didn't get a chance to see one of these teen Bibles that they gave out, it really is tremendous. One of the cartoons is on Harry Potter. And, just honest about some things that you may have accepted that really leads people into junk they should never be involved in. And Tim told you about all the different characters. They're back there. You can take a look at them, I think. If you want to purchase some to give out, that'd be a great investment of your money. But every $4 you give today is going to put a Bible in there. Think about that. Some soldier in some foxhole. Some soldier at home at night. Some soldier, he's going to be sitting there and reading that Bible. That's what you're giving right now. Everybody say amen. Isn't that great? Amen. So, Father, we pray one more time this morning. We thank you for Tim. Angie, thank you for the kids. Thank you for the heart of ministry. Thank you for the
John the Baptist spirit upon him, Lord, laying an axe to the root of problems. Thank you for foundational repentance, not just top of the ground fruit, but Lord, foundational repentance that brings a new walk and a new depth in you. How we love you today. How many of you appreciated Brother Tim today? You appreciate him? Can you give him a great clap offering?
I'm going to say, how many of you know that your family is very good at keeping you humble? My 13-year-old daughter just let me know that from the time that I pulled my handkerchief out of my back pocket, that I've had a white tag sticking out of my back pocket the whole time. That's a very humbling experience.
How many have kids in here? Let's see how many have kids in here. Yeah. I told them the story. We were in North Carolina with Benjamin. He was 4 years old. And they had a gorgeous foyer area. And they had one of those miniature Japanese trees in there. I left Benjamin for 5 minutes. I turned around. He had picked every leaf off of that Japanese little tree. Everybody say, thank God for children. Thank God for children that do it. I appreciate you coming today. And you know, and get a chance, go back by their product table in the back and be a blessing to you. They've got not only the Bible, some other stuff. And I'd really encourage you, if you want to purchase some of these little Bibles for teens to give away, you just walk down the street. God will just give you a thing. Just tremendous what the Lord can do. And, man, just take, everybody say 86,400. Everybody say 86,400. That's how many seconds in a day. And you've got the chance to give the Lord one more good clap off. Would you do that? God bless you. Hug somebody. You're dismissed today. Go in the Lord.